Aren't you thankful for the precious gift in Jesus, the blood that He has given to each of us, everyone in the whole world? What a great Savior He is. COD, what does that make you think of? Excellent. Cash on delivery. And what great opportunity some people think it is to buy all sorts of stuff. COD, right? I mean, I don't know if they still have those commercials, those long commercials on TV with you pay COD and we'll get it right to you. And I remember one time, Karen and I, we were up at Kobiak and we went and we met some friends and at the pizza place right outside of Kobiak, and we left our cameras right under the table. It was a great spot to enjoy our fellowship, but then we left our cameras right there, and it's like, okay, so we're already back in Muskegon. How are we going to get these things? And we communicated with them. They said, hey, we can send it COD, and hey, I was all for that. And because we had a good thing that we knew what it was coming, we knew the quality that it would be, and it got there safely. Well, when we think of CODs, things don't always turn out the way we want them to be, or what we may believe them to be. But as we think about COD today, I want us to think about some truths that we see in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. COD, there's hope for something that I'm going to get. Once I pay for it, it's going to be there, and it'll be better than what I imagined, I hope, right? And the reality here in Joshua chapter 6 is as the children of Israel were living life, something was going to be better than what they were getting. God had promised them. And that as they were going to live life and obey God, that God would give blessings beyond what they could imagine. And in ways that they could not imagine to get them. Number one, I want us to see this morning, we can concentrate on God's word so that number two, we obey God's commands. And number three, we discover God using you. In Joshua chapter 6, we see a miracle is about to happen. God promised them that they would get into the Canaan land, that He would give them victory. And here they have entered. They have crossed over the Jordan. They've set up memorial stones of what God has done and how they're going to remember and remind future generations that God is alive and has worked in their hearts and in their lives. And here we go to chapter 6. They've crossed over this Jordan, and here's the city that they need to conquer. What are they going to do? We've talked about this a little bit on Wednesday nights. We've been in Exodus talking about bearing fruit with the civil government. And this is one time that their results with the civil government looked a little different than it did when they were leaving Egypt. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, God has spoken, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? But Moses kept going back and giving God's message. He kept going back and saying, this is what God has said. This is what God has said. This is how He's spoken. And if you don't, He's going to do this. And if you don't again, He's going to do this. And the one plague that sticks out in my mind, I think the biggest right now, is the frogs, right? And man, they're stuck with these frogs. And Pharaoh says, one more night with the frogs. And then you tell the Lord to take them away for us. And interesting to see plague after plague that God is dealing with the children of Israel, using them in Pharaoh as He's telling Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, here they have gone. They've been away for how many years? 40 years. They've wandered for 40 years, and they're going to this land that God has promised them. And now comes battles. God had developed their faith, and God had grown them. Sadly, many of them were dead and gone because their faith was not in God. God can't bring us through. Remember, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were good, and 2 were... 10 were bad and 2 were good. My hand motion thing is all messed up. There we go. And yet they didn't have that faith. Many of them were dead and gone. Now they have had sent out only 2 spies. And these 2 spies says, God has given us this land because it's only of God. Here we saw God bring them miraculously through the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. And it's something only God could do. Well, now here they're in, and they're ready to conquer this city, Jericho. I mean, there's no way. These are not men who were trained. Moses did not in the night times train them. Okay, so this is how we're going to fight. You take your rod, you do that. I mean, he didn't teach them all this kind of stuff. But how are they going to have victory? How is God going to miraculously use these people so that His plan will be accomplished and that He will receive the glory? It is only through God and through His power. And that's what He is telling Joshua and the children of Israel here. Number one, you must concentrate on God's word. God has a great plan for Jerusalem Baptist Church. We've been talking about that. I don't know what all it includes. I'm excited to see what it is. Aren't you? And God's plan at Jerusalem Baptist Church includes you. Each of you. In Ben's case, it includes him at college or going to New York City in the field trip. I knew I was going to say that. Bill, I was telling you, I'm going to call it a field trip. And in his mission trip that he's going on. And in these different aspects, whatever aspect God wants to use you in, there's something great that only God can do through you. This is not just something that God wants to use us to do, just the basics that we know how to do and get through. God wants us to obey so that He can do something supernatural. And that's what He's telling the children of Israel here. Number one, concentrate on God's word. Remember that God is omniscient. God is omniscient. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Remember that God is omniscient. Omniscience is the quality of knowing all things at once. You know, you think about the aspect of life that you really enjoy. It might be in technology. It might be in the science somewhere. It might be in history. It might be in gardening. I don't know. And you think, man, I know an awful lot about that, but isn't there still more to know? And the incredible thing is God knows all that you know about that subject, and He knows the rest about it too. But then He knows everything about everybody else's subject that they know about. See, God says, I know what's going to happen in Jericho. I know that I have given it to you. Now, they don't know that yet. I mean, they know that God has promised victory, but God is saying, I know what's going on. I know how I am going to work. In Jeremiah 29, I believe it is, verse 11, we're reminded, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God knows everything about us, the past, the present, and the future. God knew what was going to happen in Jericho before it happened. And it was just as good as if it were done. Because He said in verse 2, I have given into thine hand Jericho. It's yours. But then there was some obedience. See, as Joshua is reminding them this, yes, God is telling Joshua here, but we get down to verse 6 and we see that Joshua then is reminding these people. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Then he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed down before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with trumpets, and the rear reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. And so Joshua is saying, God's word is true. God has spoken, and it's important. God knows all things, and we've got to do it His way. God is omniscient. He knows what's going to happen. But we must do it His way. God can do anything. God can use us in any way, but He also knows what's going to happen. He knew how Jericho was going to fall, And yet, the promise that was made to Rahab and to her family, who were with her in her house, he knew that as much as those walls would fall, that here, there was one spot of safety that needed to happen. He knew that they didn't go in with dynamite and explosives and try to blow their way into the city. He knew they didn't go in with rocks that they were shooting at the walls to break them down. But he knew that his way was the way so that he would receive glory. We don't want to try to build Jeruel Baptist Church in some way that we can say, well, we've done this and this and this and this, and that's why we have the results we have. Now, God calls us to be faithful, and we're going to see that in just a minute. But we must remember, God knows the best way to accomplish his work. His work that we don't even always know what is going to be. The children of Israel were following God one step at a time as they entered this promised land. They were following God from one city to the next and how he was going to give victory. And they had to listen to him. It was interesting to see how God worked here. God's commands. Remember that God is omniscient. He knows everything. But God reminded them also that not only was he omniscient, God is omnipotent. And omnipotence is the quality of having all power. It doesn't take dynamite when you have God. It doesn't take all the machinery that we can possibly get going in a church so that we can draw people in and grow numbers by having all of this good organization stuff in place. And as much as these things have to be, and we'll look at that, we must remember God is all-powerful. In order for God to use us, and in order for God to use this church that he has placed here, we must remember that it's only God's power and only possible by him. Again, we look at verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said, "Take unto them, take up the ark." And he's telling them, this is what we've got to do. God has said to do it. And that's how the city, you're going to get into the city. Because verse 5 said, if we start at the beginning and we obey through, that verse 5 ends up, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. The wall of Jericho, did that fall down because there were enough people marching around the city and there was enough rumble in the ground as they marched one time around the city 6 days that it really only took then that seventh time around the city on the seventh day for the walls to fall down? Because it was all of the vibrations. I mean, some people like to argue away what God can do and the only way that really can happen. And that the reality that, well, the area that Jericho was located, the ground was soft. No, this is something only God can. They marched around the city. Really, didn't look like something logical to get into a city. Is that a humanly logical battle plan? We're going to go take the city, so we're going to march around the city quietly. Who knows what the people on the walls, the watchmen, were looking down thinking, what are you doing? Or maybe, remember, the fear of the Lord had worked in their hearts. These people are scared, like, what is going on? Now, verse 1 says that the city of Jericho was shut up. No one went in and no one went out. They are scared because of the children of Israel. But remember, it wasn't because of the children of Israel. Why were those Jericho people, the inhabitants of Jericho, why were they scared? It was the fear of the Lord. And what they had seen God do, God caused them to cross over the Jordan River on dry ground. And the other things that they'd heard, and it's like, we have no hope when God's fighting for them. And really, there's a history here. 40 years before, God fought for them. And it wasn't easy. And they didn't simply have to march around the Pharaoh and say, we're leaving. There was battle after battle with the plagues, and life got more difficult for the children of Israel, but they stuck with it. And they were saying to Moses, Moses, there was points, man, it would have been better if you would have never come back. Our life is more difficult now than when you were gone away. But God did the impossible, and he built their faith. And through all of that, and them seeing all that God had done to help them to leave Egypt, they didn't trust God to bring them into the Canaan land. into the promised land. 40 years of wandering, and that next generation had the faith. God can do it. And here they are, getting ready to do the crazy so that God can be glorified. I don't know exactly what God has in store for Jeru Baptist Church. I'm excited about it. But God's going to ask us to do some things. But as He does that, He reminds us, I know everything. And I'm all powerful. He knows this area better than we do. He knows our neighbors more than we do. He knows our co-workers more than we do. God knows the situations around us. And we have to remember, God knows. God knows what's best for our church family. Oh, and as we remember that, we remember God is all powerful. And things that just don't make sense and we wish could be different and we wish we're different or we wish we had more whatever, that God can use that. Are we going to offer it to Him? We're reminded of that same idea with Jesus Christ in the feeding of the 5,000. We say the feeding of the 5,000, but at least the 5,000 men, and besides that, women and children, just a miraculous meal from a little boy who said, I don't have much, but you can have it. That didn't make sense. And as God says, will you give me your life? Will you give me what you have? Because I want to use you here at Jeru. I have great plans and it includes you. And He's reminding the children of Israel, yes, as my plans include you, remember, I know everything. Remember, I am all powerful. Number one, concentrate on God's word. And remember the reality of who God is and how He works and that He wants to use you. But number two, obey God's commands. Obey God's commands. Yes, the children of Israel had to remember, okay, God knows everything, He's all powerful, but then they had to do it God's way. This doesn't make sense. So we're going to go and we're just going to try to break down the walls. We're going to put up these ladders and we're going to try to climb over the walls. We're going to try to dig under the walls. We're going to do it, man, it's our way. It doesn't make sense. But remember, what has this generation of the children of Israel learned? That God's way works. And it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't mean life is going to be easy. And they knew that. All that God had been teaching them. And so here they are saying, okay, we will march around this city one time a day and say nothing. But God said to do it, we'll do it. It goes on in verse 10, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Very orderly. It was very orderly in their obedience to God. And what He said to do, they were going to do it. And they listened. Okay, so we've got the trumpets blowing, but we're not to say anything. We're going to march in our place as we go around the city. Again, imagine the fear in the inhabitants of Jericho. God has brought these people this far, and what are they doing, and what's going to happen to us? And just that pressure of waiting, of man, time goes on, and they're doing it again, and wake up the next day. I wonder, are they going to do it this third day? Wake up the fourth. What is going on? Just the fear in their own hearts of what? Simple obedience. Because the children of Israel were willing to simply obey. And the things that they had to give God, God, we'll give you our feet. We'll walk. We'll march like You've said to do. Obey God's commands. Obey in the preparation of this. I mean, in Joshua, as he's preparing to go in for this battle, he listens to God, and then he teaches it. As these children of Israel are ready to take Jericho, They don't know when they're going to... Remember, these men are armed. But they don't know when they're going to go in and take the city. But they go and they just march in obedience. And they just march as they prepare for God to do something. They were busy doing what God had told them to do. God is going to do something here. Are you busy doing what God has told you to do? Are you busy being faithful, doing the command that God says, this is the task I want you to do at church? That doesn't mean in this building only that we call church. Church goes beyond Sunday mornings. And it's the task, it's not just serving in Sunday school or serving in club or serving in the nursery or serving in the sound system or serving as an usher or serving in this or in the library or in this or in that other. And those are important. Without you serving in your place, we can't have any of these ministries. But it goes on even beyond that. What are you going to do tomorrow for the Lord? What does God want you to do and live for Him tomorrow? And here we have to obey God's commandments. Didn't we hear that this morning? And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. What are you doing tomorrow? What does God say? This is how I want you to live. I want to use you greatly for my glory. Are you willing to obey in those simple things of obedience? We don't always understand. Why? Why this? This doesn't make sense. In my mind, it never made sense for me to go back and work at McDonald's. In your mind, it may not make sense for you to do this. But you know that's what God has told you to do. I must obey. And God says, I will bless your obedience. Obey God's commands. Obey in the preparation for what He's going to do. Obey God in the details. You know, once again, it's interesting. God speaks in words. He didn't just speak in ideas. As we speak, it's in words. Ben didn't tell us he's going to some big city somewhere in the world. He said he's going to New York City. Did that mean something to you? He's not going to the Pacific Ocean, is he? It meant he's going to New York State. Words have meanings. And that's what God was speaking here to the children of Israel. Specific words. Shout means shout. Being silent means be silent. Obeying God in the specifics. This is one little detail. It doesn't matter. No, it's never right to do wrong so that we can do right in the end. He's telling the children of Israel here, obey me in the details. Know what I have to tell you. Know what I want you to do. My plan is specific. Now, we don't always see the full detail. Whether it's a quilt that you're making or a puzzle. Maybe you've got a 1,000-piece puzzle and you're working on that. And when you're given that puzzle, you were never given the picture to the puzzle. Wouldn't that be exciting? 1,000 pieces to put together, and I have no clue of what colors are even in this until I look at the pieces. Sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? Because we don't get to see the end result. Romans chapter 8 reminds us that God works all things together for good to them who love them, to them who are the called according to His purpose, that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. But we don't get to see the end result right now. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, man, I'd like to know who my kids are going to marry someday, and I'd like to know what's going to happen in life, but then the reality is, would we really? Would we obey? Children of Israel went through that. They didn't know. It was one step at a time, and they had to obey God in His specific plans with His specific words, knowing that He would work in His time and do the miraculous, and knowing that God wanted to use them for His glory. And that's what God is getting to here. God's plan is important and needs to be obeyed. He's going through that. Verse number 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. So 6 days, they did it one time each day. That's how many times? Six. Good. On the seventh day, they did it how many times? So 6 plus 7 is? So it must have been the magical number that knocked down the walls. 13's the lucky number. Of course not. But sometimes people want to read into stuff like that, right? Oh, man, that's going to be my new lucky number. No, that had nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with their obedience in the details. What if they would have said, man, we're just going to just march around all these times in one day. Whew, be done. Hard work and get it over with. Right? Sometimes in life, that's the easiest way. Man, I just want to get this task done. But sometimes it's slow and methodical. And it just takes time. In the kitchen. Right? You're making something. My brother is making corned beef this year. And he said his recipe is only going to have him keep it for 10 days before he does whatever else it is he has to do with it. I don't know. But it takes time. What if he just says, well, I'm just going to rush it all in some time way and cram it all into a day? Well, the flavor doesn't get into it like it's supposed to. You know, sometimes we try to throw something together and got to marinate it for 24 hours and I got 10 minutes. See if it gets in there. And it just doesn't work right. We don't always understand why does this seem so slow right now? Why is this just going on? I just like to get through this time. Children of Israel are going through this, and God says, my plan for your life is real, and it must be obeyed. And I will bless you as you obey me. And what comes in store at the end is much worth that COD, that time you're waiting for it to come in. Concentrate on God's words. Obey His commandments. And that's what He's telling these children of Israel. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And what is that? Verse 19, all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So, verse 20, the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I mean, talk about fear. Again, remember the inhabitants of Jericho. They're watching the city, these soldiers going around and around this city one time a day. And then here's the seventh day, and they're like, one more time, you know, I mean, they're just going to march around us again. Here they go a second time. What is going on? I mean, the fear is already welling up in them because God is doing something miraculous as He did to get them across this Jordan River. There's nothing going to stop God, they're thinking. What is going on? And so here they are, the children of Israel are obeying, and all of a sudden, here they just start shouting. So here, the soldiers, these armed soldiers, are marching around the city, and all of a sudden, everybody's shouting, "Roar!" I mean, talk about fear that just, besides themselves, what is going on? And then the walls fall down flat. We've had it. Now, I don't know exactly what God's going to do. We are not going to run around here shouting. We aren't going to run around the auditorium seven times and shout. We're not going to go around people's houses and shout and that's how they're going to get saved. No, none of that kind of stuff. This is what God said to do in this situation. But God has great plans, and it comes as we choose to obey Him one step at a time. And the little things that don't always make sense or what difference is that going to make anyway? What do you mean? Children of Israel could have said, we ain't never done it that way before. And they didn't. And they didn't do it for the next city either. But God's way worked that way for Jericho. Because God said, I know everything. I am all powerful and I will be glorified. And the children of Israel said, we will obey you so that you will be glorified. God has a great plan for our church. We don't understand exactly what that all will include. Do you? Because if you do, tell me, because I'm excited. I want to hear it. But we must obey God in the little things. Are you obeying? The areas that God has challenged your heart with of service and being faithful and responsibility and ministry, are you obeying? How about tomorrow? Outside of the church walls. Are you obeying the commandments of the Lord? It won't really make a difference. Nobody will really know. God will know. And that's what happened here. They didn't cut corners. God knew. Number one, concentrate on God's word. Number two, obey God's commands. And number three, discover God using you. And you'll be able to describe God's miraculous works through you. Like, it wasn't me. I don't know how that person got saved. I just told him what God told me to tell him. God is going to use Ben in great ways. But I don't want God to only use Ben. I want God to use me too. And it doesn't have to be simply in New York City. It can be right here. Don't you want God to use you? And as you and I concentrate on His Word, and as we obey God's commands, we're just going to discover God is using me. That's exciting. I mean, that tops any movie that you can watch. That tops any hobby that you can take part in. God can't choose me. I don't have anything to offer. You have you. Moses said, God, you want me to speak, but man, my tongue. God said, who made your tongue? God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Not because of anything Moses did, but Moses said, here am I, Lord. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Samuel said, here am I, Lord. Is that what you say? Here am I, Lord. God doesn't want me. He sure does. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, His plan for your life is more than you can imagine. And the way that He wants to use you is greater than you could understand. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, God loves you. And He has plans for your life, but you must know Him as Savior. He is the only hope for this life and eternity. And for God to use you first requires God to work in you. We've talked about concentrating on God's word and obeying His commands. And the first thing for you is to realize that Jesus died on the cross because of your sin. Ben was telling us this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, it wasn't a waste that Ben was sharing the gospel. You might be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Today is the day of salvation. And if you don't know Jesus, would you not leave here without realizing I need a Savior for my sins because my sin is condemning me to hell? That's true for all of us. Except I'm thankful that Jesus has saved me because I've asked Him to. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. But if you do, don't you want God to use you? Watch Him work as you obey Him. That's what these children of Israel were doing. Verse 20. As they did this, the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. If God could use a harlot, can't God use you? God could use a woman who lied in the middle of all that. Can't He use you? God wants to use you. Give Him what you've got. Say, God, I'm yours. So these men went in, and they went in and brought out Rahab, verse 23, and her father and her mother and her brethren and all she had. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And what happened to the city, verse 24? They burnt the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab and her father's household because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Verse 26, and Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. God did the miraculous. Joshua didn't. God was glorified, not because the children of Israel did everything in their only strength and power so that they could do this miraculous thing and take down this city, but they obeyed the commandments of God. How has God spoke to your heart? What do you need to obey in? Maybe what do you need to give back up to God? What area of service does God want you to use? Be used at here at church? What ministry does God want you to serve in? But then maybe the question that we're going to ask tonight at church, do I really know God? Are you obeying His commands? He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for our church family. Let's yield to Him. Father, we thank You for Your love. God, we sure want to use You. We want to glorify You and we want to see You use us. God, it doesn't make human sense why You would want to use us to do the miraculous. God, it doesn't make sense why You wanted to use the children of Israel to flatten the walls in Jericho and to take the city and have victory. But You did.